Part of that old barn. Man can change everything but himself. He can move things around him and change that, but he is helpless to change himself. And God did it with a purpose, that we would search for him. Preachers are miserable. They change churches just like swapping wives and horses. Always wanting something new. I don't like this kind of food. I want that other food. Why do you think these fast food places are flourishing? Because I don't like that no more. Back in the good old days, it wouldn't make no difference what you like. You still ate it. I remember when I was a boy down in South Florida growing up, I was playing with another fellow one day, and they were poor as we were. Of course, in Florida, the favorite fish or the most abundant fish is mullet. And they've caught them for decades. That's what I was raised on, mullet and grits, guava jelly. I remember playing with this boy one day, and he went in the house to get something to eat, and it wasn't what he wanted. His mama screamed at him and said, "You'll eat fish and grits and guava jelly and like it." An old kid got, they call his nickname was Kid, and he'd got hungry enough. He ate fish and grits and guava jelly. I did too. But now, I don't believe that's what I want. I'm going to get mad if I don't get it. Well, did you work for it? Probably not. Lord, have mercy's sakes. God help us to realize there's an emptiness and it's dangerous. It's dangerous. We cannot stand that awful feeling we have within ourselves. We look in the mirror, we don't like what we see. We can't bear to look down that long, desolate road that lies ahead of us. We're desperately weary of that old helpless feeling we have inside. We want to get rid of it. We want to be filled with something better. Then, like Shakespeare once said, to be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the man to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to bear arms against a sea of troubles, and by opposing in them. But then the dread of what may happen makes us rather bear the ills we have than fly to others which we know not of. There's three facts that man learns early in his life, and we should remember them and recall it to our memory daily. Three facts constitute the true story of man from the beginning of the creation of the world to the end. And here they are. Number one, man's past is filled with sin. Secondly, his present is overflowing with sorrow. And thirdly, the certainty of death faces him in the future. Those three facts constitute your history. Your past is filled with sin. Your present is overflowing with sorrow. And the future holds death for you. That doesn't sound like it's a rosy bed of ease, even being on this planet 70 years. I don't believe it is. We have philosophers back in the 1890s, the gay 90s they called them. There was a philosophy that was rampant. And it believed that men were producing a society of utopia, and men were generating into better people through the environmental conditions that were changed until we didn't need the Bible anymore. And they have been since striving to find a way to circumvent the Word of God. They've tried all them ways too, by the way. Men have tried those roads, and every one of them has led down. Not a one of them has led man and got him out of his sorrow, his boredom, and brought him happiness. Every one of these roads that philosophers and theologians have tried in circumventing the way of Jesus, the way of the cross that leads us home, men have walked those roads. They have staked their lives upon them. And every one of them has led them downward. And no progress has been a claim to last that has brought men up out of his old sins and old nature and all of this hatred and distrust and disillusionment and despair and death. They haven't lifted him one degree higher. Sin is still the same. Preachers try to call sin different names. They try to call it mistakes and errors. But sin, ever since the first sin was committed in the Garden of Eden, has left its crimson stain upon the souls of everyone that's committed. Sorrow has remained the same. And Adam and Eve looked upon the lifeless body of Abel, their son who was slain by another son. They felt the sharp pains of grief like every person has found them since that fateful day in the garden. That tragic day when sin, when man decided to take his own way, his own course in life, and not take God's way. Man has been in trouble, and sorrow and death and hell has resulted from man having his own way. In Proverbs 27 and verse 8, the Bible says, as a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. When God gives you a place in life, when you find where you came from, you find out where you're going, you find out how to get there, then the Bible says, if you wander from that place, you're like a bird that wanders from his nest. You're going to get in a trap and lose your life. You'll lose your way, and you'll not find it again. People are seeking rest. Rest is the most sought out thing that man has tried to discover in this age of hurry. Hurry up and be successful. Hurry up and get ahead in life. Hurry up and get that new house and new car. Don't make any difference how you get it. Just get it. Don't worry about God. Don't worry about the future. Just the present. Live for today. Then they go through life bored, going from one desire to another, from one lust to another, from one exotic pleasure to another. That leaves them empty, their spirit vexed. That old hollow feeling with the dread of the future begins to come down on them like a dark cloud with a resistless force. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the restlessness of the soul has a deeper origin than just some lust or some sentimental feeling. Jesus said, it's a spirit. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, verses 43 through 45. Jesus said, when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and he findeth none. Then saith he, I will return to my house from whence I came out. I'm going back to that person I used to stir up mildly. See, when he was there to begin with, he was a mild spirit. But this time he says, hey, I'm going back. So the Bible said, Jesus said, he goes out and he gets seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they come back. Why? Because there's a vacuum. There's an emptiness there that God says it's got to be filled. And the Bible says he enters in. When there's an emptiness, you can't keep him out. When there's an emptiness and it stays there until God can't stand it no more, then he lets that vacuum be filled. And it's filled with a deadly fullness that's indescribable. The Bible then says the end of that man, the latter state, is worse than it was at his beginning. His boredom, his lust, his insatiable greed, and all the other things of the flesh, those artificial pleasures, those artificial fulfillments, those things that are substitutes for the real, they increase.